There, I have a story I want to tell you. This is a true story. Some of you may know we recently acquired two little goats. Now, unfortunately, I don't have pictures of these goats for you, as there was a failure to communicate between my phone and my computer. And so, anyway, if you want to donate to get the Pastor Alf by him a brand new computer, that, anyway. But these goats, they're really cute. So in your mind's eye, picture the cutest little goats you can imagine. And when we got them home, we put them in one of the stalls that was nicely prepared, very comfortable for them, and so they could adapt. And so that's where they are. And in the meantime, we had prepared a paddock area for them that had a nice walk-in shelter, really nice lush green grass. I had cut down some trees, so I stacked these trees so they could climb on them, and it was just a beautiful place. Goats would love to live in this paddock. So the time for transition came. So we take these goats, we try to get them out of the pen. Do you think they would move? Uh-uh. So Britt grabs one, I grab the other, and we carry it out to this paddock area that's just, as I said, it's really lush. And around the paddock is, we strung electric fencing, and there is approximately 7,000 volts running through this fence. Trust me, I know from two reasons. One, experience, not a good way to check an electric fence, and two, I have a voltmeter. So we get these goats in there, and they look around, and this is interesting, they're interesting, and then they look back at the barn. They look where they are. They look back at the barn. They walk to the fence. They jump back. Oh, this isn't so good. They did that three times, still looking at the barn. The fourth time, you know what they did? They toughed it out. They went through the electric fence. We got five strands there. They went right through it. And you know where they went? Right back to the barn, to this pen that all it's got in it is straw. They rejected the lush field for the straw. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, my title for this morning's talk is When God Initiates Transition. One of the symptoms I came across for the word, or one of the synonyms rather, not symptoms, synonyms I came across for the word transition is change. And our world has changed dramatically. COVID has disrupted everything, the way we shop, the way we work, the way we interact, the way we do church services. You know, we've been experiencing lots of change. And I recently came across an article that said, change is one of the most feared things that human beings encounter, and I discovered goats as well. Change is one of the most feared things that human beings encounter, contributing to some of the high levels of stress that people are currently experiencing. But transition, however, isn't simply about change, although change is involved. And we here at Grand Valley Christian Center, we're in a place of God-initiated transition. And so I think it's important for us to understand what God is doing. But just before we turn to His Word, let's pray. So Father, I thank You that You lead us, that You guide us, that Your hand is on us. And as we heard, that everything is in Your hands. You are I Am. And You lead us, Father. And Lord, I pray that You would come by Your Holy Spirit right now. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Cause Your Word to come alive in us this morning as we look and learn and see what You're doing. And Father, I pray that You would cause just fresh faith to arise in our hearts this morning for Your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to read to you Joshua chapter 1, and then we're going to turn to chapter 3, and I'm going to read the first four verses. And here we read, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give them. to the Israelites, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, from the great river, the Euphrates, all of the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because I will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. But to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he had said, the Lord God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men, ready for battle, must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest as he has done for you. And until they too have taken possession of the land the Lord your God has given them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan toward the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you may command them, will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Amen. I just thought I should make one thing clear. I'm not about to die, and I'm not going to die anytime soon, so that part of this doesn't work. But the nation of Israel was facing a huge transition. Moses had died, and Joshua was appointed the new leader. And much of what was familiar to everybody was about to change. They had a different leader. The way they lived was about to change. The land, the environment would be completely different. They were coming out of the desert, and they were going into a lush and a fruitful land. The land was fertile. Now they could grow their own crops. They were coming into a land flowing, the Bible says, with milk and honey, able to access new and exciting things that simply were not available in the desert. And I often wonder, what were the people thinking? What were they feeling at this point? What were their conversations? I wonder what their conversations might have been like. I'm sure maybe excitement, maybe apprehension as they shared the stories the previous generation told them. I don't know. But what I do know is much of what was familiar was about to change. As the Bible says, they had never been this way before. And as the article I read earlier points out, change is one of the most feared things human beings encounter. It can be both exciting and stressful because it's unfamiliar. However, when God initiates transition And when we face the unfamiliar, there are three things that we can take hold of that are absolutely unchanging. Number one, his presence. In verse 5, we read, the Lord is speaking to Joshua. He says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And listen to what Moses said from experience to Joshua in front of all the people. He says it in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8. Let me turn to that because this is, I love this. He says, let me go back to verse 7. Moses saw him in Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous. You must go with his people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. You must divide them as their inheritance. And then he says, and the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. He will lead us. Amen. He will guide us. He will never leave us or cause us. He will never leave us to flounder in anxiety. He will never leave us to spin our wheels. He'll never leave us to wonder what's up, what's happening here. In fact, the Lord goes, himself goes before you, and he will go with you because his presence is absolutely unchanging. Amen. His presence is always with us, leading us and guiding us. The second thing is his power. Verse 3, it says, the Lord is speaking to Joshua, says, I will give you every place you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And again in Deuteronomy 31, verse 3, Moses assures Joshua, the Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. His power is continually at work in us and for us. Amen? He goes before us. Every place you set your foot, I will give you. His power, his might is at work on behalf of his people. Amen? His presence remains unchanging. He'll never leave us or forsake us. His power remains unchanging. I will go before you. No one will be able to stand against you. And thirdly, his purpose, his mission. Verse 6 says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people, listen to this, to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors. This wasn't a new vision. This was not a new purpose that God was leading him in. It was the same purpose. It started way back in Exodus. Exodus chapter 33, the Lord says to Moses, lead these people to the promise that I will, the land of promise that I will give you. His purpose remains the same. Joshua, be strong because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors. Joshua wasn't entering into a new mission or a new, he was carrying on the mission that God had put in place right from the beginning with Moses. This was not a new mission. It was God's plan all the time. His presence, his power, and his purpose are unchanging. The Apostle Paul put it like this, unto him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. When God initiated transition, his presence and his power and his purpose remain absolutely constant for us to stand in. Hallelujah. So what's his mission for us? For us is to make him known that the rule of Jesus, the power of the kingdom, reaches everywhere and into every person's life. Why? Because everything that's touched by Jesus is better. It becomes improved. Amen? Anything that Jesus touches gets better. That's why we work to make him known. that his reign and his rule, that the kingdom reaches into every person's life. So we work in the power of the Holy Spirit to make things more like the way Jesus wants them to be. One, for our personal lives, for our family, and for our church community. Amen? And for our community at large. So when God initiates transition, there are three things that we can take hold of that are absolutely unchanging. They are his power, his presence, and his purpose. However, in transition, things may begin to feel a little unfamiliar. I think that was the problem with my little goat story. I put them in the new pen, and it was like totally unfamiliar, and they did not want to be here. It's really interesting. They ran back to the barn, eh? And they were just in the aisleway. And I come walking in the house, and Britt's with me, and there they are, standing in the aisle of the barn. They didn't take off. And if it were the horses, they would have been gone. But these little guys are just standing there. They didn't want to go in it. They wanted to be in that pen so bad. But, you know, when things in transition, things may begin to feel unfamiliar. You know what? No more manna, no more quail. What gives? The Lord had to do different things. The people had to do things differently now. Now they actually had to work the land. They had to possess the land, and they had to remove obstacles. They had to do things. I want to tell you, as things begin to feel unfamiliar, we need to realize that God is still with us, amen, and that he's taking us somewhere. God is with us, and he's taking us somewhere. God wants to strategically position us so that we will be able to access things we could never get and do things we could never accomplish in the place we're currently at. Amen? Let me say that again. God wants to strategically position us so that you and I will be able to access things we could never get and accomplish things we can never do in the place that we're at. Amen? So God initiated transition. And with God initiated transition also comes an invitation. There are three things that are unchanging, but there's also invitation that comes when God initiates transition. So the word of God comes to Joshua, and he says, get ready. Get ready, you and all these people, get ready. And I love that. You and all these people, get ready. This is about the whole community. Amen? It's about the whole community, you and all these people. It's about the whole community being called together. But there is also action required on our part. You and all these people, get ready. It requires an action on our part. Now, what I think is important to understand is that God just doesn't force transition. Rather, he calls for cooperation. Get ready. You and all these people, he calls for cooperation. He calls for engagement, and he calls for inclusion. You and all these people, get ready. Everybody is included. Everyone, he's asking everyone to be engaged and everyone working together. As we take a look at verses 12 to 16. There we read about the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And these are some of the tribes of Israel and of the nation of Israel. And they had Moses had already allowed them to settle on the east side of the Jordan. He had already given them their inheritance. But Joshua still called them to He also called them to participate as well. They were still part of the nation of Israel. And everyone was included. Everyone was called together. Everyone was to join together. And so Joshua calls the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, and he said to them, you are to help them, the rest of the nation, until the Lord gives them rest as he has done for you. And then they too have taken possession of the land. And I love their answer. We will do everything. We'll do everything you have told us. And we will go anywhere you send us. See, transition, when God initiates transition, it's an invitation to renewed cooperation. It's an invitation for everyone to move forward together, to participate together, to grow together, and to advance God's mission together with increased effectiveness. It's an invitation to renewed cooperation. And the Lord promised, he says, your territory will extend. I will give you every place you set your foot. And that speaks to increase. That speaks to increased effectiveness. And then the Lord continues. Joshua, he says, in verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead this people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give. Verse 7, he says, be strong and very courageous. Not just courageous, but very courageous. And then verse 9 again, he says, be strong and courageous. Three times God said it. Three times, and very often when God wants to emphasize something, he says it three times. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. And then the Lord adds on top of that, do not be afraid and do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God, I'm not just the God of Moses, I am your God, the Lord your God. I will be with you wherever you go. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And you will lead this people. Verse 5, the Lord says to Joshua, no one will be able to stand against you. And that speaks of moving beyond previous limitations. What seemed impossible before is now made possible. No one will be standing against you. Be strong, be very courageous, do not be afraid. I am your God. I'm not just the God of Moses, but I am your God. I will be with you wherever you go. I will never leave you. You will lead this people. No one will be able to stand against you. That which resisted before is broken, and it speaks of moving beyond previous limitations. What was impossible before now becomes impossible. Able to access things that you weren't able to before. And instead of, I love this, instead of the people's hearts melting with fear and unbelief as they did the first time because of the giants in the land, now the spies return, and we see in chapter 2, verse 24, and this is what they said. The Lord surely has given the whole land into our hands as the people are melting with fear because of us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What seemed impossible before is made possible now. In transition, what seemed impossible before is made possible now. And in chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, it wasn't until the priests. Let's look at that for a moment. Chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 14. So when the Lord broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as, watch this, I love that, the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Just a little point to make it, this is the worst time of the season to be crossing the Jordan River. It's at a flood, it's at flood levels. But listen to this. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing and it piled up. It wasn't until the priests took a step of faith and their feet touched the water that the water's edge touched the water's edge, rather, that the way opened up. It wasn't until they took that step. And I was also thinking, you know, before, this time they didn't have Moses and his rod. They didn't have Moses. They had to do something different. They had to take a step of faith. And the moment they took that step of faith, guess what happened? The way opened up. Be strong and very courageous. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you. I'm not just the God of Moses. I am your God. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will give you. I will never leave you. And you will lead this people. No one will be able to stand before you. Moving beyond previous limitations, the impossible being made possible. Instead of people's hearts melting with fear, they are moving with courage, with belief, understanding that the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands as the people's hearts are melting with fear. The impossible has become possible. They took a step of faith and the water parted. Transition is an invitation to walk in a new expression of faith. Amen? Transition is an invitation to walk in a new expression of faith. It's an invitation to walk in renewed cooperation. It's an invitation to walk in a new expression of faith. And thirdly, when God initiates transition, is an invitation to a new level of intimacy. Verse 7 and 8 says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on you, on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You know what? His word will provide all the instruction, all the guidance we need to navigate transition. His word will train us to do all kinds of good deeds. His word will show us how we can effectively help people. His word will train us to be successful in advancing his mission. Amen? We need to be in his word. Chapter 3 says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant, which represents God's presence, and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. A people of his presence, a people filled with his word, a people of his presence following Jesus. Wherever he leads us, I will follow. And then you know the rest of it. His love I will show. And I love this, when the priest carrying his presence, we're not just following his presence, but we are carriers of his presence. Amen? Wherever he leads us, we will follow. And we carry his presence wherever we go. We bring his presence wherever he leads us. We bring his presence that changes the atmosphere. We bring his presence that breaks bondages. We bring his presence, the very presence of Jesus that makes things better. We bring Jesus wherever we go and things are changed. Amen? A people of his presence. Amen? Transition is an invitation to a new level of intimacy where I press into him, where I press in to know him through his word, where I follow him wholeheartedly because I've never been this way before. And as I follow him, he takes me into new expressions of faith. Amen. Transition is an invitation to a new level of intimacy. So in conclusion, in transition, his presence and his power and his purpose are absolutely unchanging. However, transition is an invitation to renewed cooperation for everyone to move together, forward together, to participate together, to experience new expressions of faith, to grow together and to advance God's mission together with increased effectiveness, all for his glory. Amen. I am so excited what God is doing with Grand Valley Christian Center. I'm looking forward to the days ahead of us. I'm looking forward to stepping into the new expressions of what God has for us. I'm looking forward to walking in new effectiveness. I'm looking forward to be experiencing new measures of faith. I'm looking forward to grow in new levels of cooperation. Amen. We've done some amazing things up to this point. God has allowed us to lift above our weight scale. But I'm looking forward to what he's going to do next. Amen. As we walk in renewed cooperation, as we experience new levels, new expressions of faith with an increased effectiveness for his kingdom, growing in intimacy with him. It doesn't get any better, church. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you are for us and not against us, and that you are leading us forward. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Father, I thank you that your hand is on us. Father, I thank you as individuals. Your hand is on us, and you will never leave us or forsake us. And we may be in a place of transition personally, and it may be unsettling, Father. But I thank you in that place, as you lead us as individuals forward, you're leading us into a new place where we can get things, access things in your kingdom that before were unavailable to us. And so, Father, I declare your presence and your peace over those who are facing personal transition and change, Father. But I pray for us as a church body, and I thank you, Father, that you are leading us forward. Father, that you are leading us forward and enabling us to access new and wonderful things that previously were not available to us. Father, that you're opening new ways, Father, that you're bringing us into new expressions of faith, Father, that you're bringing us into renewed cooperation, Father. Father, that you're bringing us into a greater place of intimacy so that we could advance your purposes with greater effectiveness, Father. So that we can know you and make you known, Father, with greater effectiveness. Father, we thank you that you are leading us forward. And Father, we take confidence in the fact that your presence is leading us, that your power is with us, and your purpose continues to be made manifest in us for your glory, Lord. Father, bless your people. Let your face rest upon them. Let your glory shine through. And let your peace reign. And Father, we give you all the glory that you are leading us forward for your glory. And the church said, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. Have a great rest of the day. And we will see you next week. And just to let you know, Andrew Masters will be here next week, and he will be taking some time to share, and you don't want to miss that. So God bless. Have a great rest of the day.